men as well have put into this conference. I know that a lot of work goes into it. I really do appreciate the hospitality. We're always so well taken care of, and we're grateful for that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 26. Verse 38. Christ, after the Last Supper, they go out into the garden. It says in verse 38, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Father, I ask that you'd bless us this morning, that you would point us to Christ. Lord, I know that I'm unworthy to point anyone to Christ. Yet I know that it's my responsibility, one that I'm not capable of. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me, that no one would see me, that I would not think of myself, but Lord, that you would be seen, that you would speak to all of us. You would touch our hearts. Lord, that I would just be protected, hidden under the blood of Christ, and that you would be heard, that you would be seen, that you would be known, that you, O perfect holy God, that your Holy Spirit would point to Jesus Christ, that those that are here without Christ would be pointed to Christ and come unto you through him. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The recent tragedy in Boston has brought up a topic that I think is worthy of some discussion. I'm not talking about terrorism, though that's certainly worthy of discussion. And it's a horrible tragedy. I'm not really even concerned about the politics that have, I'm not sure of the politically correct word, but I, in my view, have vomited out of politicians, out of wretched, out of Washington, politicizing and using tragedy, death to their benefit. All those things are horrible and certainly on my mind and worthy of discussion within the Word of God, but there's another topic that I think is very important and perhaps not much mentioned. It is the topic of heroism. I have heard many ceremonies where soldiers have received different awards, different commendations, medals, some for heroism. I don't think most people understand what a hero is. First of all, let me say this. If you know anyone that thinks they're a hero, they're not a hero. They're a maggot. I'm sorry, but that's just a fact. Anyone who believes themselves to be a hero is worthless. You will never find anyone who has done something for another believe himself to be a hero. They will always deny it. I remember driving here, actually, several years ago. I was listening to a conservative radio station. I listen to liberal radio stations late at night when I want to get angry because it keeps me awake. So I can drive at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can just get mad and preach at the radio. if I'm all alone. I was listening to a conservative radio station, and they were talking about heroes. And first of all, let me say this. I appreciate the fact that many Americans consider those that serve this nation as heroes. I understand the sentiment, and I appreciate it greatly. You will find it most prevalent amongst those that did not have the opportunity to serve. And it's a good thing. I appreciate that sentiment. I am always encouraged when I hear that. But here's the problem. This announcer was talking to several different soldiers. Some of them had done things that people would consider heroic. And he was trying to get them to say that these are America's heroes. Not just what they had done, but that soldiers, that veterans were America's heroes. Every one of them was thwarting his plans. He would talk to one of them, and he'd call them a hero and say, he said, no, I'm not a hero. I'm just not. Said, yeah, but what you did was, and I understood he was just trying to encourage Americans to respect and appreciate the sacrifices, the offers of duty that have been seen in not just recent wars, but in from those that have served this nation since this nation has existed. But every one of them said, no, I'm not a hero. And he was getting, not upset, but just a little frustrated. You could tell it wasn't going his way, and I wanted to call up and explain it to him, because it was clear to me. But I figured that most big shot radio announcers don't want to have anything explained to them, so I didn't. Here's the problem, you see. Soldiers, not one of them, are true heroes. Now, don't get your back up when I say that. I as you know, I'm a veteran. I was a platoon sergeant. I got out of the Army after 14 years. Due to some injuries, went into the ministry. Lord called me to preach. I loved the Army. Most people wouldn't say that, but I loved the Army, and I love this nation, and I love our veterans. I was proud when my son joined the Army. My son told me, he said, I want to be an infantryman. I began my career in the Army in the infantry and went into tanks, not important, but I said, well, don't do it because of me. I don't want you to do this because of me. He said, no, I want to do this. I said, all right. He volunteered after his basic training and his AIT to go to a unit that had a regular, that is every other year, rotation in Afghanistan. I said, don't do this to impress me. I want you to know I'm proud of you, but don't do it to impress me. Don't do it because if you think it's right. He did, and he did. His unit that he was in, 1st Brigade, was supposed to be going, but they're there now, actually. But when 2nd Brigade had just, as he arrived there, 2nd Brigade had just gotten to Afghanistan. Now, one of the units in 2nd Brigade was tasked to support special forces. I don't know if you know much about that, but special forces go into, the most dangerous places. But they go in as a small unit. They need, and this is something that perhaps you don't know, they need an infantry unit to protect them, not in their mission, but put a they unless they're in just a very quick in and out, they need an infantry unit to set up a perimeter around them so that they're not overrun by the enemy. They see a lot of action. This unit in the brigade that was there, the very first 2 weeks, took a lot of casualties to the point where they were undermanned, and they asked the unit, the brigade, they just in general asked everybody in the brigade if some of the soldiers, infantrymen, would volunteer to take the place of fallen soldiers. They understood what they were doing. It would be taking the place in a unit where they had taken a lot of casualties of men that had fallen in battle. He volunteered. And I told him, I said, don't do it for me. Don't try to impress me. I was proud of him. I love him. I've mentioned, I don't know, so many of you know that I've had a lot of problems with him, and there's still a lot of issues in his life. You can't be proud, however, of a child if you don't forgive them. You can't be proud of the right things they do if you don't forgive them. I told him that I was proud of him, but we had talked about this many times when he was a younger man, when he was 16, 17, 18, teenager. That was not an act of heroism. He went, he did see a lot of action. Had his battle buddy, the one that he shared a position with, lose both of his legs. My son was feet away. Saw a lot of things. Went through a lot. I am proud of my son. But he's not a hero. You see, my son did what it was his duty to do. That's all. That's not heroism. He did what it was his duty to do, and every one of the men that that radio announcer spoke to said the very same thing. I am no hero. I did what it was my duty to do in that situation, and any soldier would have done the very same thing had they been in those circumstances. It's just what you do. It's your duty. It's not heroism. It's your duty. Now, there's a lot of honor in doing your duty. Unfortunately, we live in a world where people just don't think they need to do their duty. And I don't just mean in the military, though. I understand the emotions, but when that young lady that joined she said she joined the Army because she wanted to make she wanted the Army to pay for her college, and she was taken prisoner, and it was terrible, and I didn't want her to be taken prisoner, and she didn't deserve it, but, they were all talking about, oh, well, she didn't want to be in that situation. Let me explain something to you. You put the uniform on, the first thing they do is train you to fire an M60. Well, the first thing they do is train you your left from your right, and how to mark, but one of the first things they do, I don't care if you're a cook, I don't care what your job is, they teach you to fire, it's not an M16 anymore, that dates me, but at any rate, they teach you to fire your weapon, they teach you to be in combat, in battle, and you put that uniform on, you have a duty, and if that duty, now not everybody obviously is taken prisoner, and not everybody even finds themselves in combat, but that's your duty. And if you're a cook and you never find yourself in combat, or if you're an infantryman supporting the special forces, it just doesn't make any difference. It's your duty to do it. And if you find yourself in that position, you do your duty. That's all. It's just fulfilling your responsibilities. We live in a world that doesn't think you have to fulfill your responsibilities. We live in a world that doesn't understand duty. They don't know what honor means. Now, honor is not being a hero. Having honor is just being willing to fulfill your duties, to do what is expected of you when it is not pleasant. That's all. Again, I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of many people. Let me explain to you the difference between that and heroism. I knew a man who was a soldier. He was driving just down the street. This was just in the back in garrison in a training area. Saw on a 7-Eleven, there was it was up on a hill out in the desert. There was a 7-Eleven. A woman quickly got out of her car, an old beat up something, and you know, big boat, and ran into the 7-Eleven. She had two little children in the car. And I don't know if the children put it into gear or if it just slid into gear, but the car started to roll down the hill towards a cliff. That was only about a 5-foot cliff, but these were small children. They were not in any kind of restraints. And after the cliff, there was a kind of a long hill that went into a ditch. So he jumped out of his vehicle in the middle of the road, and he ran to the car as it was going down towards the cliff, opened the door of the car, almost went underneath the car, got himself in the car, slammed on the brakes, put it in park, got out. Woman came over running and screaming, and you know, and she was grateful. He just got back in his car and drove away. You know, why would he do that? Oh, he was a hero. He wasn't a hero. It was his duty as a human being. That's all. You know, it was just, well, he had no thought for himself. He took no thought for himself. He took no thought for anything. It just needed to be done. It's not like, you know, well, let me see. You know, you might go into the car. You might get your feet taken off. You might get killed. You might get drugged. Who knows what this might happen? People don't think like that. You just do it because it's your duty. It's your responsibility as a human being. That's all. Some people did some things that were called heroic. I'm not detracting at all from what they did. There in Boston, there's one man. The news were just calling him the man with the cowboy hat. He wasn't a first responder. Wasn't a doctor. He was just there. Saw people fall down and bleed. He didn't run away. He ran to the people. Now, he didn't have children that he needed to run out of the area. He didn't have a wife that he needed to get safe to the area. He was there alone. You might say, well, he took no thought for himself. I'm sure he didn't think at all. Except that there's people lying down there, and I'm fine, and I need to help them get out. He carried a woman. Or he helped carry a woman. There was a football player that was there. He ran in and actually picked somebody up and carried, because he's a great big guy and could, and carried him out. Heroic! I am not in any way detracting from what they've done, but that is not heroism. We have a messed up concept of heroes in this world, in this nation. Dennis Rodman was a great basketball player. He's an idiot as a human being, but he's a great basketball player. He's no hero. But why? Because somebody's good at something, you make them a hero? That's just stupid. That proves to me this world has no concept of heroism. Even those people that did not run away from the blast, I find no fault with those that did. Many of the men that ran away from the blast actually did take thought. They took thought for their families. They took thought for their children, for their wives. I find no fault with them. But those that had the opportunity and ran towards the blast to help those that were lying, bleeding, are not heroes. They just did what it was their duty to do. You'll never find, and you know what, every one of them after being interviewed said, well, I'm not a hero, I just did what needed to be done. You see, heroism is not, a lot of times you get yourself in a position like this and you just go do it because it has to be done. There's no difference between that and the man who works several jobs, does whatever he has to do to take care of his family. Is he a hero? No. He's fulfilling his duty. I'll tell you what, a man like that perhaps is even more of a hero than those that just react. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. See, people that run into danger, the first responders that ran into the buildings, 911, they did not, because people don't do this, they didn't stop and think, now I'm not saying they weren't aware that it was dangerous and it was, you know, but they didn't stop and think, you know, look, there's a real good chance here that I'm going to die. I'll probably be burned to death or these things are going to happen, but I don't care. I'm going to go do something for somebody else. That's not the thought process. It's just your duty, and so you go do it. It is literally taking no thought. Not thinking about it, that is. Not caring what happens to you. And there's none. The guys on that plane, you know, and during all the planes crash 9/11, and the ones that actually took over the plane and prevented it from crashing into and killing many people and just crashed out in the middle of nowhere, killed the people on the plane. That approaches heroism. It approaches, but it's not heroic. You know why? Because what was their option? I mean, they were either A, going to die, being crashed into a target where many other people would be killed, or B, try to take it over, maybe crash, maybe die anyway, but there's always that glimmer of hope. And besides, they didn't have a choice. They were going to die if they did nothing. That was certain. That's not heroism. It's duty. It's honor. But it's not heroism. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. If you do everything perfectly that you should do, you fulfill your duty without hesitation, regardless of what you face. You just go do it because it has to be done without thought for the consequences. Let me tell you what, it's better not to think about the possible consequences. Just go do what you have to do. I'm going to tell you, a lot of things I would never have done had I known. Or I'm afraid I wouldn't have done them. I don't know if I'd have been a strong enough man to have done them had I known the results. You just go do it because you have to do it. Taking no thought is not heroism. It is fulfilling, it is an honorable thing. It is fulfilling your duty. But it's not heroic. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When they pin a medal on a soldier for doing his duty, unless he's a complete maggot, his response will be, I'm just following. I just do what I'm supposed to do. I in no way want to detract from that, as I said before. And absolutely, such men should be recognized, and they should be recognized because the world needs standards, and they need to know, look, people do what it is their duty to do regardless. They just do it. And that's the right thing to do. And children, you should do that. And father, a man's not some idiot sitting around, drinking beer, belching, and telling his wife to change the channel and being the king of the castle. That's not a man. That's a little boy. The nicest thing I can say about him, he's a maggot. Maybe one day he'll grow up. A man does what he has to do. He is a servant. He cares for his family. He does his duty. And everybody that does their duty, whether they do their duty, you know why most people that get the Congressional Medal of Honor get it posthumously? I don't know if you knew that, but that's true. There's almost none that received it. Very few. And there are some, but very few that received it breathing. Because sometimes doing your duty costs a lot. Just doing what is expected of you costs a lot. And having done all, I mean fulfilling your duty regardless of the consequences, not even considering the consequences. Just doing it. Why? Because it is your duty to do it. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know what that makes you? Nothing special. No hero. Unprofitable servants. That doesn't mean you're a bad servant. It just means that there's no... What do you want, a cookie? People come and told me. They've said, oh, Sarge, I did this, and I did that great thing. People have come and told me, Pastor, I did this. I didn't announce a pastor. I'm a little more, try to be a little more, reasonable about this. But when the soldiers would come to me and tell me things like that, I would say, so what do you want, a cookie? You want a medal or a chest to pin it on? Just go do your job. You're supposed to do that. People that see other people lying and bleeding after an explosion, you're supposed to go help them, pick them up and help them if you're capable of that. And you don't have to take care of your children or your wife or your family, whatever. You are able to. If you're a soldier, my son had no big surprise. He trained for that. He took every single training that would put him in the midst of the most combat because he wanted to do that. He's a little off. And, so there was no big surprise when he got in the middle of combat and saw people die around him. When he got in the middle of combat and had to kill other people. That's what he was trained to do, that he intentionally volunteered for that. Not out of a desire to hurt other people, but because he thought it was his duty to do. And he did, and he did it. That's why soldiers come back and say, why don't they expect more? That's why it's our responsibility to think more about them and to try to provide for them, you see, because they're not going to tell you how great they are and how they're worthy and they need things because they just did what was their job to do. That's all. And taking no thought, that's the only way most of the time we can do our duty. Because if you knew the consequences, it would be a serious barrier to doing your duty, a serious obstacle. I'm glad I don't know. They did all. They did their duty. Luke 17, the Bible says, that's nothing special. In fact, unprofitable servants are called. Not that they're bad or not that anything evil or negative is meant towards them. It's just that it was their duty. It's nothing special. If you don't do your duty, you're a worthless maggot. If you do your duty, what are you? Okay, so you're not worthless. You just did your duty. It's not a hero. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So if you do everything you're supposed to do, you obey God fully and completely. Okay. You know, hero. Just did what was your duty to do. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 again. So what is a hero, brother? Now, that's a fair question. So, okay, now again, they did their duty. It's an honorable thing. They should be used as role models. Now that, I'll accept. They should be used as role models, those that do their duty. Only because most people in our nation don't do their duty. And children grow up to think the world owes them something. They don't think they have an obligation to others. Children in our nation are absolute penny waste, worthless. Not as a whole. But I'm afraid a little more than 50%. Why? Well, you know, every time they wipe their nose or, you know, don't fail a test, they, you know, make a big deal. They have kindergarten graduation anymore. You know what you got to do to graduate from kindergarten? Breathe and not poop your britches. And they have grace. Celebrate that. Well, good for them, sweet little boy. Well, you know, and then... psychologically, we tell children, well, you know, I know you beat Johnny up, but you didn't stick a knife in him. Good little fella, you're making progress, aren't you? Children need to understand, have a role model, not some knucklehead who can throw a ball better than I. And I appreciate sports. I like sports. I'm glad that Dennis Rodman was on the Chicago team because, you know, I like Chicago, and I want them to win. There's nothing evil about that. Nothing evil about being good at what you do. And even other people appreciating that. But they're not heroes. They're not even role models. One, I'll tell you, there was a man who was a fantastic baseball manager, basically the position of a coach in St. Louis. And he was good. Now, he was good. He was a complete maggot as a human being, worthless. Would get DUIs and people would just overlook it and didn't come out until, you know, this guy had people look up to him. He had to come out and said, like, I was wrong and that was the stupidest thing to do. And he never said anything like that. Not a role model. Good at winning baseball games. Not anybody I want my children to consider as a role model. So, yes, people that do their duty, they are role models. And they should be considered role models for our children. Look here, this man did his duty. He was there, he could help, he did. You know what? I think parents are afraid to teach their children to do their duty because it's dangerous sometimes, and it is. Oh, don't do that, Johnny. Run away. Don't be alone. You know what? Again, I find no fault with anybody that whatever they had to do. But I would like to believe that our children, if they find themselves in a position where they can do the right thing, no matter what the circumstances, they don't consider the consequences, they just do the right thing. That's honorable. That's doing your duty. But it's not heroism. It's two things that are missing. Heroism, true heroism, requires a complete and total disclosure. That is, to know the consequences. Not just the possible consequences. I mean know the consequences. Be fully aware of what it will cost you. And B, being able to do something about it. Not having to do it. Sometimes you'll find some of that in a situation where humans are involved, but you never find both. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 39, there has only been one hero that has ever taken breath on this earth. Only one. Only one man did what it was his duty to do, what it was his responsibility to do, knowing the horrible consequences. Being in a position where if it was not his will, he didn't have to do it. Where none others could impose themselves on him. I hope you understand you're not the captain of your own ship. You're not even the co-pilot. You know, I heard, you ever seen that thing? If you think God's your co-pilot, switch seats. Don't switch seats. Get in the back of the bus because you have no control. One man had absolute control and did what it was his responsibility to do, knowing fully the terrible consequences, the suffering, in fact, intending, willing, not just willing, but knowing and able to have done something about it, had it been his will. He could have called those angels. But it's ridiculous to say that because he wasn't going to, because that wasn't his will. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. This speaks here of his responsibility. But understand, as man, yes, he was responsible and he was obedient to the Father, but he was God. 100% God, just as he was 100% man. Nobody could force him to do anything that was not his will to do. And he knew. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. He knew what he was facing for them, what he was about to do for them. And he found them asleep. He says, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he called and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. He knew. Do you think that my Lord was in the garden saying, I don't really want to do this? Was that the whole point of his prayer in the garden? Absolutely not. It was his intent. It was his will to go. So what was going on in the garden? I don't understand. Why did he say, let this cup pass from me? Because as a man, he was the only man about to do something that was his duty to do and knew fully how much it would cost him. Suffering, that he absolutely knew of. And it was given, this knowledge was given expression, this heroism was given expression here. He did not desire that he would not go to the cross and suffer. That's what he came for. But he knew how horrible it would be. Do not think he went wanting to. Do not think he went thinking it would not be a big deal. Surely as God, he could have shielded himself from the pain, but that was not his intent. His intent was to suffer fully for me and for you, if you're saved. And this expression here in the garden proves to us that he was fully aware of all that he would suffer. It wasn't a desire not to go, but it was expression of the fact that he knew what it would cost him to do that, which was his responsibility, which was obedience to the Father, which he came to do. It was his job. It was what he came to do. It's why he was born into this world in the flesh, so that he could die and suffer. Suffer and die. And he knew that. And you and I get a little glimpse into what true heroism is, because he knew fully what this was going to cost him. You know, in Romans, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those that he was about to die for, his true disciples, believers, knew who he was. He had expressed to them what he was going to do. He told them that he was about to be delivered into the hands of sinners, and it was his intent to go. He found them sleeping. Christ didn't do it because they were worthy. I would absolutely do whatever needed to be done to protect my wife. Somebody came in shooting, I would put myself between her and the shooter, and I would do everything I could to extinguish his existence. But that's because my wife is much better than I am. But you see, true heroism does not consider, having full knowledge, does not consider the cost, and does not consider the worth of those that are benefited by it. Christ fully knew that they weren't worthy. Christ didn't go and die because, oh, they were just so good and his disciples were so meant so much to him. They did mean to him, and he loved them. He went out of love for them, but it wasn't because of their worth. They were asleep when he was in his agony. Such agony. He was so fully aware of what he was about to suffer that his pores literally secreted blood. He absolutely knew the shame. The Bible says he despised it. Doesn't mean he wasn't going to go. He knew it, and he despised what he was facing. shame, for he had done nothing to be shamed. He took my shame, and he hated my shame. There has never been another hero alive. There was never a hero before Christ. There has never been a hero since Christ. There have been men that have done their duty, not taking thought, not considering what was before them. They just went and did it because it was their duty. And that's by the grace of God. But this man knew what he faced. He knew how unworthy those that he faced it for were and are. He was God. Were it not his will, he did not have to go. He was not reacting to circumstances. This was his will. He knew what it would cost him, and he hated it. He knew that he fully intended to suffer, allow himself intentionally to suffer every bit of it. Shield himself from none of it. Not the shame, though he hated it. Not the physical torment. Not any of it. For me. You see, people that do things that we consider heroic on earth, they tell you they're not heroes because they know they're just doing their duty. It's what they were supposed to do. Christ. If you want to have a hero, now if you want to have a role model, someone that you want to teach your children, here's a good example of how you ought to grow up and how you ought to act. There's people, just everyday, regular people that do their duty no matter what. They don't even think about it. They just do their duty. And I'm not concerned about what it's going to cost them. They just do it. They don't even think about it. They don't want to know. Better not to know. But they are no heroes. The Bible says you've done that which was your duty to do. There's no great prophet in that. There's no heroism in that. It's a good role model. I don't detract from it at all. But you have to understand, there's only been one man ever lived that was a hero. Willingly. For someone who was unworthy, knowing fully what he would suffer, and hating it. Hating, despising the shame. Went to the cross. And took upon himself the suffering. He was God. He knew the wrath of God against sin. He knew how terrible it was. And yet he willingly endured it for me. I'm not trying to dishonor any right act of any human being. I just think we need to start using the word heroism a little more carefully. For there's only been one. Others have done their duty. It's their duty. They've done nothing except that which was expected of them. There's no profit in that. It's a good thing. But it's not above and there's no such thing as above and beyond the call of duty. Whatever they did was their duty. There's only one man. It was truly a hero, for he fulfilled what he desired to do for you and for me. Despising, knowing all of the suffering. Not wanting to suffer, but absolutely aware of it and completely willing for your sake and for mine.